There are three sets of karbanos that have to be brought. It's a day in the year like any regular day. You have to bring two tmidim, tamid shel shachar, tamid shel bein arbaim. Then it's a yontiv, so you have to look in Parshas Pinchas, where it says which musafim you bring. So Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you bring 10 musafim, 9 oilas and 1 chatas. And then you look in Parshas Achrei Mos, there's a third set of karbonas for the purpose of kapara. That's 5 karbonas. Aaron has to pay for 2. Achatas anoyla parachatas hashalo, he has to pay from his pocket. And me'esla das b'nei Yisrael, you have to take shnei se'iri and an ayali oilam. So there are 5 karbanas in Achrei Mos for the purpose of kapara, and 10 karbanas for the purpose of mesafim, that's 15, and two tmidim, that's 15 and 2 should be 17. The Tanoim had a machloikis regarding the ayala oila that's paid for by Bnei Yisrael Me'ez, Hadaz Bnei Yisrael. You have to bring ayala oila. And one of the musafim, one of the 10 musafim in Parshas Pinchas is also Ayla Oyla. So there's a machloikis hatanaim. Are these two different Eilim? That's what I would have said. One is an Achrei Mos and one is in Pinchas. This is for the musafim, this is for Kapar. And we pass the Allah and Natsa. We pass the Ayla Omba Kan, Hu Huama Bukhum Shabkudim. The Ayla mentioned here in Achrei Mos is the same Ayla in Parshas Pinchas. That's Chum Shabkudim. Is Chumash Bamid because it starts off with the census of Bnei Yisrael. So it's called the Chumash Abkudim, the Chumash about taking the census. So it's a Pella, if it's the same mile, why is it written twice in the Chumash? And the Vilna Gaon has a whole series of additional kashas. So the Chochmas Sodom quotes a teretz from the Vilna Gaon, a big chiddush, and then he writes that after he heard it from the Vilna Gaon, he looked and he found it in the Sifra. The whole chiddush of the Vilna Gaon is in the Sifra, but the Vilna Gaon embellished it, he enhanced it, that on Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol has to, for the purpose of Kapar, has to go lifnai v'lifnai. Has to go into the Heichal, he has to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and once a year he goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh, Achas Hashanah. So in order to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh, you have to have this whole series of korbanos. So the Vilna Gaon had a chiddush that really says in the Tanoim and the Sifra that Aaron HaKohen had a hayroa shoa, Kolzman, he was alive, whenever he would feel it necessary to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could go in even if it's not Yom Kippur. And you have to bring this series of karbanos, the 5 karbanos in Parshas Achrei Mos. If it happens to be Yom Kippur, so you have to bring, the Kohen Gadol has to go in order to get kapara. So you have to bring this series of kabbanas plus this series of kabbanas in Parshas Pinchas. So then, Al Hama Kan Hu Hama B'chom Shabkudim. But if it's not Yom Kippur, if it's Purim or Hanukkah or any other time, and Aaron HaKohen wants to go into the Kodesh Kodoshim, and he doesn't bring the Musafim from Pinchas because that's only on Yom Kippur, so he'll bring these kabbanas. That's why the Ayil is written twice. If Aaron HaKohen has to go to the Kodesh Kodashim some other day of the year. It's a very big chiddush. The Pasuk says that the Ledoiris, you don't have such a din. Ledoiris, you only enter the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippur, and only the Kohen Gadol enters. So the Maisa, there aren't 17 Korbanos. The simple reading of the Chumash implies there are 17 Korbanos. Bottom line, there are only 16 korbanos, they are not 17. The Pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol has to do everything on Yom Kippur, and the Mishnah says that he does everything. So the Kesa Mishnah quotes, the Kohen Gadol does the Shechita also. The Gemara has a machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel. All year long, the din is that Shechita Ksheira Dazar. Even on Kachin Kachim, even on Korbanos Tzibur. Strictly speaking, Shechita Ksheira Dazar, you don't need a Kohen. The Mishnayos say that the Kohanim used to have a lottery every day. Who's going to shecht the Tamid Shal Shachar? Who's going to shecht the Musaf? What do you mean they had a lottery among the Kohanim? why they the balabatim, only Kohanim are eligible, non-Kohanim can also do the shechita. So the Meiri writes on Yuma, this was a chumrah that they apparently introduced, maybe this man by Sheni, that in Karbonis Tzibur, they insisted on having Kohanim do the shechita also. What about Yom Kippur? So when Yom Kippur, it's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, where they say shechita ksher desar or not, we paskin, yes. Even on Kippur, strictly speaking, the shechita of all of the Karbonis can be done by a non-Kohen. But the Mishnah said the Kohen Gadol did everything, so that was already a chumrah. So the case of Mishnah on the side of the Rambam quotes a Ritva in Yuma. I think it's very unusual. It's pretty rare. I don't remember other places, but the case of Mishnah quotes any Ritvas. Quotes a Ritva in Yuma that he thinks that the need for the Kohen Gadol to be makriv the Tamash al Shara Tamash al Abayim, he thinks that's only a chumrah in the Rabbanim. Then you don't need a Kohen Gadol because that's not a Yom Kippur Dikadin. You bring the Tevinim every day of the year. Nothing special about Yom Kippur. I would have thought the same is true about the Musafim. I don't know why the Ritva only said it when it gave to the Tevinim. I would have thought the Musafim also is kosher and a regular kind head. The only thing you need a Kohen Gadol for is in Parsha Sacharei Mois for the Minat Torah. The Mishnah says the Kohen Gadol did the Tamas Roshach, Tamas Shal Ben Abayim also. That was a chumrah that they had. But Yikre Din, I would have said like the Ritva, and I would have said even the Musafim also should be kosher with that Kohen Hedyot. The Pashtus is the only thing you need a Kohen Gadol for is the Avodas Yom Kippur. Every day of the year, the second perek in Maseches Yuma, Mishnayis, is dedicated to the Din of the Payasas. They used to have a lottery, sort of, a hagrola, how to determine who has the schus. There were a lot of kohanim, and everybody would fight to get the schus, to be makar of the korbanos. They would fight literally. The Mishnah tells a story that once the kohanim were fighting who's going to have the schus, the shech, the tamid. One of them murdered the other one on purpose. He stabbed him with his knife because he ran to the Mizbeach faster. So it was a tragedy. So they had to introduce a system that it shouldn't be hefker, shouldn't be kol hakodem zochah. So the Baal HaMor writes on Yuma, he thinks that all the Balei HaKrevis, all the Paitonim, made a mistake. They all write that on Yom Kippur they were payosas. He says, but Shaykh payosas on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to do everything from A to Z. He doesn't go into it, but it's all Minat Torah, Midi Rabbanan, but the Mishnah, he says the Kohen Gadol does everything. So there's nothing to have payosas of that. So the Ramban makes fun of the Baal HaMor. So he says, he's the only genius. All the Paitonim from the days of the Goyim and the Rishonim and the Baal HaTorah, they didn't know. Only the Baal HaMor knew the truth that there are no payosas on Yom Kippur. So what's the whole second parak and Yuma doing over there? The whole second parak was all about payosas. What is it doing there? So he thinks that the Paitonim are right, the Goyim are right. There were four, every day there were basically four payosas on Yom Kippur. Also there were four. Kohen Gadol didn't do everything. So what didn't he do? So the Ramban figures out a couple of things. So Trumas Hadeshin was done Balayla. That's Avodas Halayla. So that, he says, you don't need, that's 2 days in Tesis on Daf Chof in Yuma. So that's a Machlokes, two days in Tesis. Machlokes the Baal HaMor and the Ramban. So the Baal HaMor thinks everything was done by the Kohen Gadol, including the Trumas Hadeshin. And the Trumas Hadeshin is a mitzvah every single day to take a little bit of Meloi HaMachta, Rashi says, to take a Meloi HaMachta of ashes that burnt on the Mizbech and to put it on the floor. And for many years a miracle would occur and the ashes would become Nivla B'mkomo. It would sink into the ground. So that was done Balayla before Los HaShacha. So that Ramban thinks that the Paitonim are right. You didn't need a Kohen Gadol. Then the Ramban has another three also that are not really Yavoidas. So that's why there were four payasas on Yom Kippur. It wasn't the same four payasas that they had every day of the year. But the Ramban defends the track, the nusach of the Paitonim. There are two nuschois for the Seder HaVoidah. The Gemara says that the Shliach Tzibur has to mention the HaVoidah, Siyam Yikimah, the Seder HaVoidah in the Chazoras HaShatz. Today, the common practice is all over the world, we only say the Seder HaVoidah in Musaf. In the days of the Gaonim, it was not uncommon that they would say the Seder, the Chazan and Chazaras Hashatz would mention the Seder Avodah Shacharis and Mincha as well. And Shulchan Aruch says he only say a Musaf because most of the Avodah was done Musaf time. But really, Avodah was done all day long. When you read the Chumash, you get the impression that the Avodah was divided into three units. First, Avodah the big day, Zohar, the Kohen Gadol all year long had Shemayna B'Godim, Kohen Hedi wears Avodah B'Godim, Kohen Gadol wears Shemayna B'Godim, and then the Kohen Gadol switches and he wears big day Lavan to do all the Avodah Yom Kippurim, and then after he finishes everything, then he does a third unit of Avodah, Elo B'El Ha'am, he does Avodah and big day Zohar. The Torah Shebal Peh says not so, that we have a tradition in Gemiri that the Kohen Gadol every time a Kohen wants to put on Big Day Kuna, he becomes more Mekudesh. The Gemara has learns out from Pasuk Bizbanshi Big Day Malem Kunosim Alem, Ein Big Day Malem, Ein Kunosim Alem. Apparently there are two levels of Kedushas Kuna. There's Kedushas Kuna Sheba Migdosh, there's Kedushas Kuna Sheba Gvulat. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha, even if he's not wearing Big Day Kuna. A Kohen is not allowed to go to a cemetery, even if he's not wearing Big Day Kuna. He does Pidyon HaBen, he gets the first Aliyah, he does a lot of things, because he has Kedushas Kuna Shebig Vulet. In order to be able to be Makram Karbana, so the Pasuk says, if he's not wearing Big Day Kuna, he's like a Tzar. When he puts on Big Day Kuna, he's endowed with a higher level of Kedushas Kuna. So because on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah in five units. When the simple reading of the Chumash, it sounds like you do the Avodah in three units, Big Day Zav, Big Day Lavan, Big Day Zav. The Torah Shabbat Peh says not so. The Torah Shabbat Peh says we have a tradition that every time the Kohen Gadol puts on, every time any Kohen puts on Big Day Kuna, or every time the Kohen Gadol puts on Big Day Kuna on Yom Kippur, five times he divides the Avodah into five units. First Big Day Zav, Big Day Lavan, Big Day Zav, Big Day Lavan, Big Day Zav. So every time he's about to put on Big Day Kuna, he's going to be in a salah with a higher level of Kedushas Kuna. So you have to go to a mikveh like a ger. A ger habol is guy who wants to be endowed with Kedushas Yisrael. Or when it was Bechiras Kohanim, so the Kohanim had to go to mikveh. Whenever a person, there's one din of Tovel and a mikveh, one person is Tomei, so he's Tovel and a mikveh to remove the Tumah. Then there's another din of Tvid of a mikveh to be endowed with a higher level of Kedusha, gerus. So that's the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur goes to mikveh five times. The Avodah should be done in five units. The simple reading of the Chumash is not so. Simple reading of the Chumash is done in three units. Rav Soloveitchik had a suggestion. He said that the Beis HaLevi and others suggest that there, on Yom Kippur we celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah. The Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luch HaShnias on Yom Kippur. So we have 2 days in the calendar that we celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah. Shavuos is Man Matan Torah Seinim, and Yom Kippur is also. So what do you need 2 days to celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah? So the Beis HaLevi elaborates more than others before him that on Shavuos the original plan was that it's only the whole Torah is going to be Torah Shebichsav. And on Yom Kippur, after the Chet HaEgel, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luch HaShnias, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the plan, and he decided he has to have a Torah Shebal Peh also. And Rav Soloveitchik elaborated, said, oh, but there's a long drasha from the Beis HaLevi about this. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe that's why the Chumash writes it in such a misleading fashion about Yom Kippur, that if you follow the way it says in the Torah Shebichsav, you'll be doing the Karbonas incorrectly. You have to, even though in the Chumash it says you do it in three units, the Torah Shebal Peh says you have to, you don't follow what it says, you do the Avodah in five units. Well, Davila Soloveitchik has a suggestion in his Sefer on Yuma. He has a Melchamas, the Ramban of Melchamas on Yuma, writes an interesting Loshan, he writes an expression. So Davila Soloveitchik says from the Ramban, one would get the impression that if you do the Avodah the way it says in the Chumash, you will be, I'd say, even though the din is that the Seder Avodah is Ma'akev. If you bring the Karbonah Shalal HaSeder, you're not Yotzeh. But if you do the way it says in Chumash, you will be Yotzeh. The only thing is, he won't be Yotzeh the Gemiri. The Aloha Moshe Messina, the Chumash Tvilas, Masori Kiddushin, the Kohen Gadol has to be Tovel in the mikveh five times, every time he's about to put on Big Day Kuna. And every time you either put on and take off Big Day Kuna, you need Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So he's going to put on and take off five times. So you need 10 times Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So Rav Dovla has a mashmois from the Ramban that if you do the avodah the way it says in the Chumash, you will be yotzei, but you won't be yotzei this halacha Moshe Messina, that more correct is the kain gadol should be tovel in the mikveh 5 times, do kiddush adar raglayim 10 times. So the Torah tells us the 3 units, and the Mishnahs tell us the 5 units. And the Tanoim have machlekes exactly what's the Seder of the Hakrobas HaKarbonis. So there are 2 nuschos in the Seder HaVoidah. So during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Kara, the Nusach Svard had more mistakes. They're both full of mistakes. So the Nusach Svard had more mistakes than the Nusach Ashkenaz, and the Beis Yosef corrects all the mistakes. There's a page in the tour where there's no tour, there's no Bach, only Beis Yosef. The whole page, only Beis Yosef. He corrects the Nusach in the Seder HaVoidah. So the Sfardashir printers were nice enough to correct everything. And after they corrected the text of the Avodah, so the Nusach Svard is better than that of the Nusach Ashkenaz. The Nusach Ashkenaz is full of mistakes. The Chayyodom corrected the Nusach Ashkenaz, but the printers didn't follow up. They keep on printing the old Nusach Ashkenaz with the mistakes. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. He would prefer to say the Nusach Svard, because it was all straightened out. But he says, what can he do? His family's tradition is that they say Nusach Ashkenaz, so he's stuck. He has to say the Nusach Ashkenaz. Halacha l'maaseh, there are 2 major differences between, the whole poetry is different, but the 2 major halachic differences between the Seder HaAvodah, Nusach Ashkenaz, and Nusach Svard. One difference is, when did you bring the Tamashal Bein Avai? There are only 16 korbanos. We chiseled it down from 17 to 16. So every korban is discussed and ascertained exactly when you bring it, except for the Tamashal Bein Avayim. It doesn't say every single korban is taken care of and debated. Tamashal Bein Avayim doesn't say bull in the Mishnah, so the Gemara doesn't say when you bring it. So that's a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam, whether you do the Tamashal Bein Avayim in the 3rd unit of Avodah or you do it in the 5th unit of Avodah. So the Nusach Ashkenaz follows Rashi, and the Nusach Svard follows the Rambam. Okay, they're consistent. So that's one difference. Just parenthetically, Rav Shlomo LeVilna was the Magi on the Vilna Shas. When they printed the Vilna Shas in the late 1800s, he's the one who corrected the galleys. His grandson used to teach here in Yeshiva when I was a student in high school. He had a grandson, Rabbi Markelis, who was a big Talmid Chacham. And he said the family tradition had it that he corrected the Shas from memory. He didn't have to check against another edition of Gemara. He remembered every word in Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos by heart. Okay. So Rav Shlomo LeVilna points out, printed, he was the one who sometimes put things in the Gemara in parentheses and brackets. And in the back, he tells you why he put this in parentheses and why he put this in brackets. He explains everything. So he writes, this machlekes Rashi and the Rambam, Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Svard, and he thinks that they're both not right. He thinks as a 3rd sheet, that when did they bring the Tamashal Bein Avai? So he says the Mishnah in Tamid Nishchat, the Mishnah in the middle of Psachim, says that in the afternoon they brought the Tamashal Bein Avai every day, most of the time, between 2:30 and 3:30 in the afternoon. That was smack in the middle. It takes approximately an hour, so smack in the middle of the afternoon. Between 2:30 and 3:30, they brought the Tamashal Bein Avai. So if it's Shabbos, they brought a different date. And if it's a Pesach, a different time. Different time. But it doesn't say Yom Kippur is different from any other day. So he says Yom Kippur is a day like every other day. So when the clock strikes 2:30, they bring the Tamashal Bein Avai. So if the Kohen Gadol is a young fellow and he's running back and forth, he'll probably be in the 5th unit of Avodah when the clock strikes 2:30. But if he's an older person, then until he walks, it takes him a while, and he's not going to be so quick. So then he'll probably be in the 3rd unit of Avodah when the clock strikes 2:30. But now the clock—that's why the Mishnah doesn't say when they brought the Tamashal Bein Avai, because it was neither in the third. It wasn't always in the 3rd unit. It wasn't always in the 5th unit. Sometimes in the 3rd, sometimes in the 5th. But that's not his suggestion. Interesting, his suggestion. That's not what it says. Not in Rashi or the Rambam. And the Nusach Ashkenaz follows the Rashi, and the Nusach Svard follows the Rambam. There, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there's another discrepancy between the Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Svard that runs as follows. You learn the Shnai's Tomid, so it says the Seder Hayom every day. So he says they had a lottery, and every kohen was zeched to do mishechet, who does shechita, who does kabbalas adam, who does halachas adam, who does zrikas adam, who does this. Every kohen, it says, he did his avoida, hishtachava v'yotza. That's the recurrent refrain. The kohen who won the lottery, he has the right to do an avoida, does the avoida, and then he kneels on the floor and he leaves the Beis HaMikdash. Where did they get that from, that every kohen who does an avoida has to be mishtachva before he leaves? So the quote from the Vilna Gaon, they have very little written by the Vilna Gaon himself, it's all written by the students. So the Talmidim quote from the Vilna Gaon is learned out from the Pasuk in Kisavoy, that when you bring the Kohen, it says, V'hishtachav Yisrael l'fnei Hashem elokecha. So the Vilna Gaon said, that's not a din that's unique to Havoas Bikurim. It's not part of the Seder of Bikurim. It's a general din, kol ha-nechnasim la'azara. Whoever enters the Azara has to be mishtachva sometime or another before he leaves. So the Nusach Svarad of the Seder Avodah, it says the Kohen Gadol does a whole Avodah all day long, and then Acharei Kechlos HaKol he'll be Mishtachve, and then he goes home. That's the last thing he does. He's Mishtachve V'yotza, like the recurrent refrain that appears in the Mishnah and Talmud all the time. And the Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't have that at all. Doesn't have Mishtachve. Could be it's a mistake. So Rav Soloveitchik years ago had a suggestion. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was still in Europe at the time. He used to correspond with his father. His father was teaching here in the yeshiva. His parents lived in a neighborhood. And he sent his father this letter, why the Kohen Gadol didn't do hishtachva on Yom Kippur. According to the Nusach Ashkenaz, you get the impression that he didn't do hishtachva. So his father, at that time, they didn't have a Beis Yitzchak, they had Heydeno. It was a soft cover Torah publication, Heydeno, our echo, Heydeno. And then when Dr. Revel passed away, so they called it Eidenu, our tragedy, with an Aleph, Heydeno. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik liked the Dvar Torah that his son sent him so much, he gave it to the editor of Heydeno that they should print it. I think that's where it was first printed. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that on Yom Kippur, he had arrived in the Gemara, the first Perek in Yuma, and Daf Yud, I think, on the base. That on Yom Kippur, not only do you have to bring, 16 carbonates in a certain order, first this carbon, then that carbon, then that carbon, then the Seder's Me'akev, part of the time the Seder's Me'akev, not always. So every step of the way, literally, is also part of the Seder Avodah. He has to walk, and the Gemara asks, but the Kohen Gadol, when he leaves the Kodesh HaKodashim, he walks out backwards. He walks out backwards, not to turn his back to the Shechina. And the Pasuk is V'yotza. The Pasuk says in Acharei Mos, V'yotza el, I forgot the Loshon. V'yotza el HaMizbech shel lifnei Hashem. Pasuk Yudches in Parshas Acharei Mos. Is that a normal way to walk? How is he Mekai V'yotza? The Gemara says, yeah. You see from the fact that the Mishnah says he walked out backwards, not to turn his back to the Shechin. You see that that's considered a normal way of walking. So you see from the Gemara Chiddush that every step of the way is part of the Seder Avodah. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, since in Parshas Acharei Mos it never says anything about Hishtachva, if the Kohen Gadol will be Mishtachva to fulfill the universal requirement, the Kol HaNechnasim La'Azara have to be Mishtachva before they leave, it will be a Shinui in the Seder Avodah. Because in Acharei Mos it doesn't say anything about that. So that was his suggestion. Maybe the Nusach Ashkenaz is Davke, and maybe Taki not allowed to do Hishtachva on Yom Kippur. When the Kohen Gadol is Tovel in the Mikveh, so the Mishnah has an expression, Olav in his topic. He comes out of the mikveh and he dries himself off. So that's what your mother tells you. Dry yourself off before you walk out in the street in the winter, otherwise you get chapped hands or you get a cold or something. What does the Mishnah have to say? Olav in his topic. What's the significance? The Kohen Gadol's mother told the Rabbi Danasi to put in with his topic. He has to dry off. So the Mishnah Melech raises the possibility, maybe it's a halachic statement. Maybe it's trying to tell us that if there are droplets of water in between the bigdei kohuna and the body of the kohen gadol, that'll be el chatzitza. All the dinim of chatzitza by tefillin, that you shouldn't have any chatzitza between the shorosh and the head, all the dinim are based on the gemaras and the second parak and zochim about chatzitza between the bigdei kohuna and the body. So maybe that's why it says all of it is topic, to tell you that if you leave a big droplet of water on the body, it'll be a chatzitza. So the Chidor quotes this from the Mishlam Melch and Hilchas Tefillin. So he says, well, all the dinim of chatzitza by Tefillin are based on the dinim of chatzitza by Big Dekuna. So there are some people who go to mikveh every morning before they start davening shacharis, so they should taka, make sure they dry themselves off. Because if there'll be a droplet of water, it'll be a chatzitza in between the body and the shalyad, or the body and the shalrosh. There's a sefer Migdash David. Rabbi David Rappaport was a super genius. He writes that he learned in Slabodka. They had a group of people who were learning Kachin. And first they learned Kachin. They couldn't make out heads and tails. They couldn't figure out what's going on there, because they had never learned it before. And they were groping in the dark. And then they learned it a second time. And then everything started to light up. And one of the klolim of the kala was that whoever was mechadish something has to write it up. So he wrote up all these svarim. So his name was David, Rabbi David Rappaport. He was a descendant of Rabbi Akiva Eger. So he wrote a sefer He'oris called Tzemach David. He wrote a sefer He'oris on Shulis Rabbi Akiva Eger. And Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman was so taken by the sefer, he hired him sight unseen to be the top Rosh Yeshiva in Baranovich, higher than him. And when he came, he was surprised to see, number one, he was single. He wasn't married. How can you have the top Rosh Yeshiva, a single guy? And number two, he studied so much, the students didn't know what language he was talking. They didn't understand one word. It took a half a year till they understood what he was talking about. So Rabbi Hanan was a brother-in-law of Rabbi Chaim Oizer. So he went to Vilna, he asked him, what should I do? I made a mistake. I hired this guy sight unseen. And he's single and he studied. So he says, well, Nistam single, Nistam, he'll get married. Ultimately, he did get married, and then in the war, he died in the war. He died from malnutrition. He told everybody they should eat the tree for food in the concentration camps, and he himself didn't want to eat it. So he died from malnutrition, and then he made sure that there were edim, that his wife shouldn't be an aguna. And and then the stuttering, that never straightened out. So it took a half a year till the Talmidim knew what he was talking about. So he learned in Slabodka, and he wrote these Migdash David. He wrote on Kochim and on Taurus and on Zroim. Fantastic svarim. It's a good thing. That was the klal, that was the chok and the kolot, that whoever came up with any chidushim has to write them up. So he wrote like encyclopedic articles. He wrote essays where he quotes all the Rabbeinu Gershoms and all the Rambams and all the Rishonim and all whatever he had. So he is not happy with this Mishnah Melech's interpretation, because this expression, Olav and Istapeg, appears also in Mishnah's Parah, when they're making a Parah Duma, and the coin over there is not bearing Big Dekuna. So you can't say that the reason why he says he has to dry off is because of Chatzitza. In between the Big Dekuna and the body, he's not wearing Big Dekuna, he's wearing Big Dechol over there. So he has a different, sounds snazzier the way the Mishnah Melech said, but that's the taina of the Migdash David. So he suggests the following, based on the Gemara in Chagiga. There's a din midirabbanan, maila. Maila means a chumer midirabbanan. That when you tovel for the purpose of kachim, you tovel for the purpose of eating truma, tovel for the purpose of being oisik and paraduma, so you have to have kavana at the time that you tovel, l'shem tahara. So what if a person was tovel in the mikveh, he thought he's going to eat truma, and then after he was tovel, he thinks, no, he wants to eat kachim also. So is it still okay if he has the kavana after he already came out of the mikveh? So the Gemara says, as long as he didn't dry himself off yet, he can still have the kavana. This din mid rabbanon, that you have to have kavana mishas tefilo for paraduma or for kachim or for truma, doesn't necessarily have to be prior to being tovel. It can even be after he was tovel, kolzman he didn't dry himself off. It's considered as if it's as if it worked out today, Dima, as if it's still, he's still in the process of being tovel till he dries himself off. So he suggests maybe that's why the Mishnah says all of in his topic, that until he dries himself off, the tefillah is not completed yet. Sounds nicer the way the Mishlah Melech said, but he thinks that it's not really correct. There was a Hebrew writer, Shai Agnon, who wrote a book years ago. It was a very popular book. Now nobody even heard of it. Yomim Naroim, he has, and they translate into English, Days of War. He quotes all the dinim and all the minhagim and all the chassidish stories and everything about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So he quotes that in some communities, he documents it, he gives you all the time, the Maamar comes, that there were communities where they had bedavka hapsoke of an hour and 10 minutes or so in between Musaf and Mincha. Why bedavka to have a hapsoke? Zechel HaMikdosh. Because in the Beis HaMikdosh, the Kohen Gadol has to give the Zohar HaMishtalech to the Ishiti, L'shalech HaSo HaMidbaro. And then the Mishnah says that it took the amount of time, the Tchilas HaMidbar, till they took it to the Tzuk, that was a few hours later. That took quite a while, the Chiyosa LaTzuk. But the Kohen Gadol has to give it to the Ishiti, L'shalech HaSo HaMidbaro, to bring the Zohar HaMishtalech to the Midbar. So till he went to the Tchilas HaMidbar was a distance of 3 milen. And the Kohen Gadol wasn't allowed to leave the Azara until the Ishiti reached the Tchilas HaMidbar. Now the Kohen Gadol would leave the Azara, he would go to the Ezros Nashim in order to learn Kriyas HaTorah. So we learn Kriyas HaTorah right before Mincha. So in between Musaf and Mincha, there was a minute that you wait. A mil is 22 and a half minutes. So if you wait a little over an hour and 6 minutes, that's Zechel HaMikdash. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohen Gadol gave the Zohar Mishtalech, the Ishiti had to stand there in the Azara. You're not allowed to sit in the Azara. Even the Kohen Gadol not allowed to sit, only the Melech Malchei Beis David. He had to stand in the Azara for an hour and 6 minutes until they notified him that the Zohar was Higia LaMidbar. Or you just, the Gemara says, just look at a clock. You see that an hour and 10 minutes went by, so you know that they already reached the midbar. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to leave the Azara to lay in Kriyas HaTorah until the Zohar reaches the midbar. What kind of a din is that? So Rav Avila Soloveitchik has in his sefer an interpretation of this, that we say Shechita lav avodah. Shechita is not an avodah, even though the carbon has to be in the Azara when you shecht it, but the coin is doing the shechita doesn't have to be in the Azara. Coin could be standing outside of the Azara and have a knife, stick his hand in, and have a knife and shecht in the Azara. And even a coin, then Tosfos adds on, even a coin, there is one Tana whose opinion has not been accepted, who says when you shecht all the carbonis, the one who shechts it has to be standing in the Azara also, but if it's a kochi kochim, and shechitas matzof, and the kohen who does the, or the whoever is doing the shechita, shechita k'sher bizar, the one who does the shechita does not have to be standing in tzofen. He can be in dorim. Tzofen is the right hand side of the azara. As long as the animal is in tzofen, the one who does the shechita can be in dorim. You don't require, because shechita lav avodah, it's not an avodah mitzad gavra. So that's why you don't require that the one who does the shechita should be in the same location where the korban has to be. But the other avodas, Kabbalah, Halach, Hazvika, all the other avodas, you require that the kohen who's doing the avoda has to be in the same location. So the kohen gadol has to be mishaleach, the adishiti hamidbara, strictly speaking, is considered as if the kohen gadol did the shiluach. It's like shlucha shalom kemesi, he sends the ishiti, so the kohen gadol has to be in the azara when he gives over the Zohar HaMishtalech to the Ishiti. The Gemara said, what if the Ishiti became Tomei? He's permitted to enter the Azara on Yom Kippur in order to take the Zohar HaMishtalech and the Kohen Gadol and take it to the Tzuk. Why does he have to enter the Azara? Let him stand outside the Azara and the Kohen Gadol will give it to someone, they'll bring it to the Ishiti. So you see from the Gemara that even the Ishiti is Tomei, the Kohen Gadol has to be standing in the Azara and he gives over the Zohar HaMishtalech to the Ishiti. So the Kohen Gadol has to stay in the Azara ba'amida until the Ishiti reaches the midbar, because the Avodah isn't completed yet. The Kohen has to be in the Makam Haroi La'Avodah until that Avodah is completed. The Gemara has such a din. Let's say the Kohen, all year long, the Kohen does a Zrika on the Mizbeach, and after the Dam let's say he has a kli shoris, a cup, after he throws the dam in the direction of the mizbeach, his finger gets chopped off before he becomes a balmum, before the dam lands on the mizbeach. So at the time that he did this zrika, he was kosher, he was not a balmum. So the Gemara says it's no good. Since before the dam landed on the karnas on mizbeach, he became a balmum, so the avoid is puzzle. Someone has to do it over again. So here also, the shiluach hasor la nidbar, the chiyasa latzuk that's done by the ishiti, but the shiluach the ishiti hamidbara, sending it to the nidbar, that's considered the avoid done by the kangaroo. So he has to be in the azora, give it to the ishiti in the azora, even if the ishiti is tamei. That's the din that the korban shizmana kavu is dechetume. The ishiti has to come into Azar and take it, and the Kohen Gadol can't leave the Azar until the Soil Azar reaches the Tchilas HaMidbar. So then Rabbi Avraham Soloveitchik quotes in the name of the Dayan of Briska, Simcha Zelig, that that's the same pshat in the Rambam. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, in addition to bringing the Keturahs that you bring every day of the year, Pashtus is Minatur, you don't need a Kohen Gadol for that. That probably Kohen Hedi can do that. But that the Mishnah says the Kohen Gadol does everything. That's a Maila, that's a Chumra. So the Kohen Gadol has to do Haktoris, Haktoris, Lifnai, Vilifnim. He takes in the Kafa Machta into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he does Haktorah on the floor. There is no Mizbech in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He does Haktorah on the floor, on the Machto. So the Rambam writes, the Kohen Gadol has to stand and wait in the Kodesh HaKadoshim ad shismaleh habayis kulei osha, until the whole Kodesh HaKadoshim gets full of smoke, and then he can leave. Why? Why does he have to wait? Because the pasuk says ki be'onanei ro'a l'kaporis, that the Aveda of Haktoris Haktoris on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is not completed. So the Kohen who does that avodah, the Kohen Gadol who's doing the Haktoris Haktoris on the Machna on the floor, has to stand in the Kodesh HaKadoshim a few minutes till the whole Kodesh HaKadoshim will be full of smoke, and then he has a right to leave. Even though he already did all he's going to do, but till the avodah is completed, he has to stand in the Mokam HaKadoshim. There's a special din, the Pasuk says in Pasuk Yutes, that the Kohen should take the Dama Par and the Dama Sar, mix them together. That's when the Gemara calls Ma'arvin Likronos. He mixed together the Dam of the Dama Par and the Dama Sar. When you do the Zvike on the Karnas HaMizbech HaPnimi, so the Gemara raises a question, Hadovi Yadush Adam HaPar Meruba Midam HaSar. The Par is a big fat animal, and the Sar is a skinny maling. So it's going to be much more dam hapor than there is going to be dam hasoyer. So, or even if you rig it, so you'll have more dam hasoyer, dam hapor. It's not going to be 50-50. It's one chance in a billion, zillion, trillion, million. It's going to be 50-50. It's not going to be 50-50. Either one, the dam hapor is going to be merubah midam hasoyer, or in a rare instance, a dam hasoyer will be merubah midam hapor, but it's not going to be 50-50. So the Gemara, the Tanoim, were bothered with Akasha. When he does the Zrika, whichever dam is in the miut, whichever dam is less than 50%, should be bottled bereiv. So it should be considered as if he only did the Zrika on that dam which is in the reiv, and the miut should be kevisheinu, as if he didn't do the Zrika. So Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda derives from this pasuk that min b'minoi, if it's lach b'lach min b'minoi, is not bottled. Rashi paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi holds the halacha be passed like Rabbi Yehuda because the Gemara said the Rav, the Amora Rav, holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And we don't, in Shulchan Aruch, we have not accepted that Rashi because the Rabbi Netanya Tosfos says it's not so. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, we pass like the Chachamim. What do the Chachamim do with the Pasuk? How would you fulfill Lokach Medam Apar Medam Asoyer? It's not going to be 50-50. Adobe Yadush Adam Apam Ruben Medam Asoyer. So the Gemara says, "Mikan lo olin she'im evaklin zeze." Since the dam is supposed to be nizrik on the mizbeach, the things that are supposed to, both the dam apar and dam asar, both supposed to be nizrik on the mizbeach. So the din is that the olim anat mevaklin zeze. Why not? What kind of a din is that? Din only olin. So that in Shulchan Aruch they quote the famous Ran in the Dorim on Daf Nun Beis. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to refer to it as the Telzer Ran. because the Ran analyzes a machlokes hatanaim like they used to say Torah and tells the yeshiva in Europe. They used to sometimes discuss whether something depends on mitzias or depends on din. So that's what the Ran says over here, that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan agree that minaloi batel, because there's no clash. The only time you say there's bitul b'roiv is when there's a conflict, when there's a clash. If it's minaloi, so it's not batel. But whereas Rabbi Yehuda says it depends on mitzias, if you have maim b'maim, a yayin b'yayin, a dam b'dam, so that's min b'minoi, because in mitzias it's the same. So the Rabbanim say, no, if you have one is heta, one is iser, since in halacha there's a contrast, there's a contradiction, so that's why it will be bottled. But if you have heta b'heta, so in the oilin, they're both supposed to be nizuk on the mizbech, they both have the same dinim. So then heta b'heta is like bottled. So that's the Ran's interpretation of the machlokes of Yehuda and Rabban. But the whole machlokes comes from this pasuk. The Mishnah says when the Kohen Gadol does the avodah Yom Kippur, when he's zorik the dam parachatas hashaloi and soir l'Hashem from Bnei Yisrael, so he has to do achas lemaila v'shevel l'mato in front of the orain in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And by Sheni, there was no Orin, because Yoshio, it says in Sefer Dirayam, Yoshio HaMelech was a king towards the end of the Vice-Region period, and he was going as the Luchas into the chamber in the basement that Shlomo HaMelech, when he originally built the Beis HaMikdash, he had Megillas Ksav, he had a Megillah, the Novi gave him the layout of how the Beis HaMikdash has to be, and not a lot of change. So in that Megillah Biksav, he was instructed that he has to have a special chamber in the basement. When it comes time, he has to put the luchas there. So he reached a period of time, very unclear, and the pasuk, what motivated Yoshua HaMelech to move the luchas, but that's what he did. He wasn't afraid the enemy was going to come and capture it. That was way later. So the Netziv discusses what motivated him. What's pshat in the psukim and the rayam? Why did he move the luchas to the basement? But that's what he did. And the whole Baisheni period, the luchas were not there. So the Mishnah says that there was an Eben Shisiyah. They have photographs of what the Kodesh Kodashim looks like now. The Eben Shisiyah now is a gigantic stone. From the Mishnah you get the impression it's a little stone. It's only three etzbois above the ground. Now it's gigantic. If that's what they said, the Eben Shisiyah, the Dome of the Rock. It has this gigantic rock there. If that's the Eben Shisiyah, it's bigger than you get the impression. So the Kohen Gadol and the Bai Sheni would be Zorik the Dam, Keneged, the location where the Oren used to be. What does that help you, Zorik? He's supposed to be Zorik in front of the Oren. So the Rabdabal Soloveitchik said that's based on the principle that Kedushas HaMikdash is Kitchelos Ilovoi. Since that was Lifnei Hamas, Lifnei HaOren, you have to be Zorik the Dam in front of the Oren. So that section of the Hechel had that status, even though the Oren was taken away and even though the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. He say not only Kitchelos Ilovoi, in general the Beis HaMikdash retained its Kedusha, each part of the Beis HaMikdash retained its unique status. So when in the Bai Sheni, when the Kohen Gadol was Zorik Adam in front of the Eben Shisiyah, based on the Kitchelos Ilovoi, that's considered as if he's Zorikin in the right place, in front of the Ark. So it says in the Mishnah he has to be Zorik Achas Lamayla Visheva Lamato, and he has to count, and you have to count them separately. You don't count 1 to 8. You count 1, and then you count 1 to 7. So the Tanoim have a machloikas, how did he count? Did he count, if he spoke in Hebrew, did he count achas? Achas v'achas, achas v'shtaim, achas v'sholosh? Or did he have to count separately? Or did he count achas, achas v'achas, shtaim v'achas, sholosh v'achas, arba v'achas? What's the big difference? What do you say, the larger number first, or the smaller number first? So the Gemara says, this machloikas ha-Tanoim is marki asrei, the two Tanoim. The Tana and the Mishnah, and the Tana and the Braisa came from different parts of Eretz Yisrael. And the Minig was different. Whenever you say two numbers, is it more correct in speech that you say the larger number or you say the smaller number? Like, there he's saying two different numbers, two different Zrikas. Let's say you say 24. So in modern English, you say 24. In ancient English, you'd say 4 and 20. Queen was in the parlor, or the king was in the parlor, something like that, 24 blackbirds or something. So 4 and 20 blackbirds. In Yiddish, you say fear and zwanzig. You don't say zwanzig and fear. You say the smaller number first. If you look in Chumash, you have both ways. Sometimes you have 24, sometimes 4 and 20. Most of the time in the Chumash, you have the smaller number first. And in Ksuvim, which was later, most of the time you have the larger number first. The Loshim and the Adam changed. So the way it's written in Tanakh also changed. So the Gemara says, Marki Asrei, Marki Asrei, each Tana, whenever you have to fulfill a mitzvah, Yedei Amira, Yedei Dibor, so you should fulfill a mitzvah in the correct way of speaking. The more correct way, so whatever is the more correct way. Either the more correct way is to say the larger number first or the smaller number first. So this is quoted by the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer. When you count how many days it is, Lag Boimer, so you don't say Hayom Shloshim Shlosha Yomim. You say Yom Shlosha Ushloshim Yom. Why do you say Shlosha Ushloshim Yom on Lag Boimer? Because the Magen Avraham says we all talk Yiddish. In Yiddish you say Drei and Dreisig. You don't say Dreisig and Drei. So since everybody talks Yiddish, so the Marki Asrei, Marki Asrei, so you should say the smaller number first. The question is that now most people do not talk Yiddish. And in modern Hebrew, you say the larger number first. You don't say the smaller number. I asked Rabbi Ben Chaim, he said in Arabic also, you say the larger number first. So many Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael think that we should change the Nusach by the Sefiras HaOmer. The Gemara says that it's supposed to be the way normal people talk. Whenever you do a mitzvah of Amir, it should be the Derech Eretz dictates, the Kovadik is, to say the more correct way to count. So if the more correct practice is to say the larger number first, we should really do that. Part of the Seder Avoda on Yom Kippur, that's Ma'akev, is the Kriyas HaTorah. The Kohen Gadol has to learn Kriyas HaTorah, and the Gemara in the beginning of the Mesichta learns it out from a pasuk that it's Ma'akev. The Mishnah says in Elan Amorim, that's in Saita around Aflamid or so. So the Mishnah lists off which mitzvahs of Amira can be fulfilled in the original Hebrew only and which can be fulfilled in translation. So Kriyash Mazamach like the Satanayim. And we pass, and you can't be out to Kriyash Mazamach translation. It has to be an accurate translation, word for word translation. What about an aliyah? A person gets an aliyah. How about the brachas? So strictly speaking, the person doesn't know how to speak Hebrew. He can say the brachas in English. But the Mishnah says for Hakel, once every 7 years, the Melech lanes Hakel on Chalamoit Sukkis, and the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when he lanes, these are two Kriyas HaTorah deraisa, Hakel and the Kriyas HaTorah with the Kohen Gadol. So the Mishnah says the brachas of the Birchas HaTorah before and after the Kriya have to be said, have to be recited in Hebrew. Special din of Kriyas HaTorah. Special aloch of Kriyas HaTorah deraisa. Tosis in the first parak in Bava Basra quotes a Rashi. I don't know if we have this Rashi. There's a quote from Rashi that the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur that the Kohen Gadol learns has to be from the Sefer HaZorah. You can't stam yotzid with any other Sefer Torah. You have to have Davke, the Sefer HaZorah. And the same thing, there's a quote also from Rashi for Hakel, that the laning of Hakel has to be from the Sefer HaZorah. The Kohen Gadol recited Vidui three times. And in the Vidui he mentioned, each time he says Vidui, three times he mentioned Shem Hashem, three times. And the Pashto says that he pronounced the Shem Hashem Kirchsovoi all three times. And then when he would say Lashem Chatos, he would also pronounce Yudkei Vavke Kirchsovoi. What is exactly the correct pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei Kirchsovoi? So the Tosfos Yontav HaMishnayos Yuma quotes three different opinions. But in the Nusach of the Seder Avoda, based on the Gemara, it says Hakohen Avraham Hom De Mazar HaYikorim Mishtachnu Kishav Yishamim. It says Shem Mefurash Yotzei Mipi Kohen Gadol HaYikorim Mishtachnu Mimodim Enof Mal Pnei. So the Achrayim quote Rabbi Shai Berlin has their Oris on the Siddur. And the Oitzah Tefillah Siddur, they have all the Horus at the end. Shai Berlin is the, he added on a lot of Marmakomas on the side of the Gemara, and the Masoras HaShas in brackets, that's all from Reb Shai Berlin. He used to correspond with the Nadi Behuda. He lived in the 1700s. So he writes, the Yushalmi has a Braisa, HaKrevim those who were close to the Kohen Gadol will be mishtachave. Harechaykim, those who were far away, will only say Baruch Shem Kohen Machus. But who are the Krovim, who are the Rechaykim? So he says, from the Nusach HaVoidi, you see, a Krovim means Kohen Mamhom de Mazara. And when it says the Rechaykim say Baruch Shem Kohen Machus, I mean they both said Baruch Shem, the Krovim and the Rechaykim, but the Krovim would be mishtachave, and then they would say Baruch Shem. The Rechaykim would only say Baruch Shem. They wouldn't be mishtachave. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. Ishtachvoa is a special kiyum in the Azara. That's like the, we said from the Vilna Goy, that it says by Bikurim, Ishtachlisa lefnei Hashem elokecha, Ishtachvoa is a kol ha-nechnasim la-Azara, should be mishtachve. So here, those who are in the Azara, and here the Kohen Gadol will say the Shem HaFarish, they would be mishtachve. Rav Soloveitchik said that where he came from in Eastern Europe, he doesn't remember at all that the women would do kriya on Yom Kippur. When he went to Berlin and he studied in university, he was stunned to see that there the women would be bowing on the floor. So he wondered, how come we didn't do that in Eastern Europe? So he thought probably because the women were never in the Azar. The Azar Snoshim had the status of Harabais. It wasn't Azar. So there really wouldn't be any Zechel Amigdash if the women would bow. They want to bow Gesundheit, but there never was such a minute because the women never did it. They quoted the name Rav Moshe Feinstein. He said, if the women want to bow, they may bow. Okay. But it's not really the full Zechel HaMikdash because the women were always the Rechaykim. They were never the Krovim. The Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara points out that in Vilna, they had a lot of learned people. Rosh Hashanah is very learned. So he says the common practice was that people would kneel on the floor in the middle of the Avodah. And then they would stand up, and after they would stand up, then they would scream out loud, Baruch Shem Kohen Machus on the Yom Kippur. So he thinks that that's not correct. He says the simple reading of the Gemara is that you say this Sheva, Baruch Shem Kohen Machus on the Yom Kippur, when one is in the position of Ishtachvor on the floor, not after you stand up already. We have Hakadam Amham de Mazara, we have it three times. Each time the Kohen Gadol said the Vidui, so we have it three times. It was really a fourth time when they did the Hagrola and they determined which was the Sorei Lashem. So the Gemara said the Farish, he said Lashem Chatos, and according to one time it just says Lashem, it didn't even say Lashem Chatos. So there was a fourth time that you have Hakadam Amham. So the Balatanya added it into the Nusach HaTfili, should say the fourth time, Karnavam Ham de Mazara, but he recommended they shouldn't kneel there. Some kind of a reason, I'll pick up Bola, why only the minig is everybody kneels only the three times and not the fourth time. Rav Soloveitchik said the Nusach like the Balatanya, that you say four times, and he had everybody kneel even the fourth time, kneel four times. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur would say duchening also. When he said the duchening also, the Mishnah says when you duchen in the Beis HaMikdash, he say the Shema Amperish. How come nobody kneeled over there? I don't know. That's a discussion. That's a discussion. Then there's also a discussion. The Sfasemis raises the issue. Rav Soloveitchik spoke about in his Shiurim. When the Kohen Gadol says the Vidui three times, he says, On Hashem Chatos Avisa Peshaytel Fana, On Hashem Kapana, On Abashem Kapana Lachatayim. So when he says, On Hashem, On Abashem, he says, Shem Yudke Vavke, and then he says, Shenemer, Ki Ba'esha Chamta, Kol Chatzech Lefne Hashem Titoru, when he says the Pasuk, so the third time everybody would be Kareh Mishtach Lamoda. Why didn't they kneel on the floor the first time? Why did they wait till the third time? So the Sfasemis talks about that. So that's problematic. That's an issue. The pasuk says, "But the Kohen Gadol does smicha samach Aaron eshtei yovel al rosh hasoyer." In the beginning of Vayikra, when it says smicha, it says the samach is yodo. So you get the mistaken impression as if you do smicha only with one hand. And in fact, and in the targum that's known as Targum Yonis and Ben Aziel, he says on the pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra, you do smicha biyad yamin. So the commentaries ask, it's against the Mishnah. Mishnah said, the Pharisee, you do smicha b'shtei yadayim. And on Yom Kippur, it says, it's a special din only on Yom Kippur. That's always the din. Whenever you do smicha b'shtei yadayim. So they're not sure who wrote the Targum, what's the one that's known as Targum Yonis and Menazir. There's a lot of times things that don't correspond to what it says in the Mishnah. So they're not sure, was it really by a Tana? It wasn't by Yonas ben Azir. Was it really by a Tana who was entitled to disagree with what it says in the Mishnah? Or was it written by a non-reliable person? But Smicha b'shtei adayim is clear based on today's Sanhedrin. Mishnah say that the Kohen Gadol has to be married on Yom Kippur because the Divya that he says, Ana Hashem Chatos, Evis Peshat, Ani Ubeisi, Ubeisi Zuishta, Dechipa Bada, Bad Beisa, Beisa Zuishta. And the Gemara says in the first parak in Yom, Beisa Zuishta means it's not enough if you have Erisin, you have to have Nisuin. Beisa Zuishta needs Nisuin. Tesus Hishonim on the first daf Beisa Manalef in Yom, is not sure whether that's Ma'akid Bidiyeva. What if the Kohen Gadol is not married? Is that Ma'akid Bidiyeva? So that's from the simple reading in the Mishnah, you get the impression that it is Ma'akid Bidiyeva. The Ramban HaChumash quotes the Rambam that Kiddush Adai Raglaim can be done either from the what do you do Kiddush Adai from? Which, what's the Kli? I forgot it. From the Kiyar. Or the Gemara says you can do from any Klisharis. But the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah min amopcha to do from the Kiyar. So the Ramban HaChumash says, how can that be correct? He quotes the Rambam. He said, how can that be correct? The Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur did not do Kiddush Adayim Raglaim from the Kiyar. That a Kitan Shel Zohar. So if the Rambam holds that it's a lachatchila deraisa to do from the Kiyar, how can it be that the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur didn't do lachatchila deraisa? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that it's not really a kasha. The Rambam never said you have to do from the kir. Rambam said you have to do from water that was in the Skadish in the kir. As opposed to if you use water that was in the Skadish in a different klisharis, it's good, but the lachatchila shouldn't be. So the Rambam writes on Yom Kippur, they would take water that was in the Skadish in the kir, they would put it in a kitna shalzov to make it easier for the Kohen Gadol. But the water was in the Skadish in the kir. So he said, the Rabban's kasha against the Rambam is not really sure. Okay, got a daven mincha. Amen.